everyone, and welcome to GamesRadar's first post-E3 2013 episode. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Lorenzo Valoria.
Henry Gilbert.
Ryan Telchnik.
And, we have a... We don't have an awesome show. We have an okay show. We're all still tired from E3.
Still getting back on track.
I'm taking caffeine pills every day just to get by.
I'm taking caffeine patches.
Yeah.
Or nicotine patches. I don't know. I mix them up sometimes.
I've just been sleeping a lot when I get home.
Sleepy.
I mean, it's not that I have clinical depression, guys. I'm just sleepy.
Sorry.
Also,
Ryan, you're supposed to say a joke at this point.
I once took a bottle of caffeine pills and then washed it down with a 2-liter Mountain Dew when trying to pull an all-nighter once, and it did not work out.
Did you throw up?
No, I fell asleep
diarrhea?
Standing up, though.
Did you have diarrhea?
I did not.
Are you sure?
I felt terribly sick, though.
Okay.
That sounds horrible.
It was. I don't recommend it.
Quick diarrhea story.
Was this in college?
No, yeah, it was, actually.
It was, yes, college, a.k.a. last weekend because he wanted to play League of Legends.
No, it was, yeah. I had to go to work at UPS early in the morning, and I also had, I was working two jobs, and I had to work till like midnight the night before and get up at 3 a.m., so I was just like, fuck it. I played Counter-Strike Source.
Which is what you do.
Drinking a 2-liter Mountain Dew and slamming some caffeine pills.
Yeah,
push
so
it all the way around.
This show is probably going to be a shorter one because there are no reviews. And we really don't think you need any more previews. If you want to listen to some previews, just listen to the last few episodes. There's previews. There's everything. There's all that.
We did have a little Nintendo fun today, though.
Yeah, it was cool.
Was it stuff we didn't talk about at all, though?
We certainly didn't talk about Wii Party U.
Oh, yeah. So we have no previews. Maybe Henry and I will just argue about whether or not New Super Mario World U is a hunk of shit.
Why don't we have an impromptu debate later in the episode?
Impromptu, and we're planning it now. But let's jump into the top seven first, starting with the number seven on the list.
You didn't say what the top seven
was. I was about to.
I know, I realized that, but I had already interrupted.
The top seven E3 2013 no-shows.
Okay.
That reminds me of just 5 minutes ago when you interrupted Tom right before he was going to say what the Division had trafficked. What about the Division?
And the Division?
And what about the Division, though?
What about the Division?
I'm sorry.
Number seven on the list, Untitled Yarn Yoshi Project.
That's
the name we're going with.
So they showed that.
Which, by the way, I hope it's called Yoshi's Crochet Today.
And the January Nintendo Direct, where Nintendo was like, oh, fuck, no one's buying Wii U's. Show every game we can. Like,
that was an awesome day, by the way.
Yeah, we all underestimated that Nintendo Direct. And so they showed everything they had, including that game. But apparently they decided, like, I think later, as we realized at today's appointment, I think Nintendo at E3, they really only want to show the games that are out in 2013. Mm-hmm. They did some exceptions just to have more games there this year, like they showed Bayonetta and Mario Kart. But that was it. And then at this event today, where we were re-seeing E3 stuff, they only showed 2013 games.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's why I think, you know, Yarn Yoshi is clearly 2014. And there's also another Yoshi. I mean, you don't need... I love Yoshi as much as the next guy, but you don't need two
Probably
Yoshi
more,
games.
Actually.
I love Yoshi as much as the few people. But the new Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's New Island, kind of fills the Yoshi void for this year.
Yeah.
I did ask... here's a funny story. I did have an okay interview, the maybe not worth transcribing, with Takashi Tezuka.
Our video guy?
No, that's Takeshi. This is Takashi.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Takashi Tezuka. Or I guess if I was to say it the correct Japanese way, Tezuka Takashi. Anyway, I interviewed him.
Henry going crazy up in here!
He's worked on a million Mario games. He's the director of Yarn Yoshi, or he's working with the team on Yarn Yoshi.
Also, can we real quick, this isn't an interruption for interruption's sake, but why the fuck can't developers name their games anymore?
I don't know.
Like,
maybe
it's worth an article, but
so
like,
far out.
New Halo, no name.
Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge, which I think might just be called Mirror's Edge, but I have a feeling it won't be. Yarn Yoshi, fucking X.
Yeah.
Just X. We're just calling
it
X.
You know it's going to be Zeno something.
Yeah, it's like, why the hell can't developers name their games anymore? Are they showing them so early that they can't even begin to contemplate what it's going to be called?
I blame focus testing. They're just afraid. They haven't focus tested the whole thing yet, so they're not sure what the right marketing name is.
Hmm.
So I did talk to him, and it was an annoying interview in that the PR lady, who was just doing her job, but she was like, this is really an interview about New Luigi U, a game that comes out this it came out the next week, so who cares?
But, this interview was last week.
Yeah, last week. Hmm. So she was like, come on, get these about new Luigi U. But I still was able to sneak in, like, I'd ask, like, three Luigi questions. I'd be like, hey, but what about this game? And then after two questions of that, she's like, hey, Luigi.
The fuck did I tell you, Hank? And she, like, slammed a table.
And so near the end, I was like, so what happened with Yarn Yoshi? And he said, the boilerplate you'd expect him to say, like, well, we just didn't feel it was ready yet. We want to make it really great for when we first show it, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, well, so why did what made you want to work with the Yarn Kirby's Epic Yarn team? It could feel like what was good. And then she said, all right, this is about Luigi, please. And
I was there and I heard, hey, shit face, reel it in.
And then
I thought that was super inappropriate for a PR person, male or female. I'm not going to discriminate.
Since that was the fourth time she had told me to stick to the questions, at that point, both the translator and Tezuka-san laughed at me. They're like,
you got laughed at.
Yeah. I did get his, I did street pass with him, though.
So anyway, I street passed with Reggie. Boom!
So jealous.
I got him last year. That's
whatever.
Old news to me.
So yeah, Reginator. It was not shown off. It looks super fun. It's three. It's 2.5D.
It's a side scroller, right?
Yeah, it's 2.5D.
Like Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Right. Oh yeah.
Fully rendered characters in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some. We already know it has some mechanics that the other ones did, that like Kirby's Epic Yarn didn't, because we've seen there's a difference between silhouette, like just barely constructed Yarn Yoshi, and fully crocheted Yoshi. And it was not even mumbled.
Yeah, I guess they're gonna. I wonder if we'll see it ever. Like, they're gonna be so focused.
I sure hope so, Henry.
If we're ever gonna see it before the end of next year, because they're gonna be so focused, like, at the thing we were at today, not to keep going back to it, but.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Henry and Lorenzo got to go to a fancy schmancy Nintendo event.
They got to play games.
They were really I guess because they'd had such a shit lineup for the last 6 months, they were really like, "We've got a big game from August to December. We've got Pikmin in August, Wonderful 101 September, Wind Waker HD October, Donkey Kong November, Mario December."
Can I say that Nintendo's Wii U lineup is still a sack of shit, but their 3DS lineup has never been better?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the 3DS is doing well enough where it's like, how about you guys just upscale one of these games and throw it on the fucking Wii U?
Maybe.
Like, you guys need, like, you have a Pokemon game, you have a better looking Yoshi game, realistically.
I think they've got a good September. I think they've got a good fall for the Wii U.
Mm.
Not great.
Probably.
Yeah, I agree.
Good. Yeah. And then they got Mario Kart after that. And
I know that Donkey Kong game was pretty fun.
I
liked it.
Yeah, so no show. Number 6 on the list, a game that we've all pretty much decided is canceled, but Tekken X Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing that was supposed to exist.
It feels like it was supposed to exist in that I bet you Street Fighter X Tekken will get more people interested if they think it's half of a thing. Like, I feel like it never existed.
Mm-hmm. Street Fighter Cross Tekken was a flop. Like, it sold okay, but definitely under what Capcom had hoped. And the Capcom one, like, we all know that's going to sell better than the Namco one. So, I think, like, Namco is probably just waiting out some agreement they made with Capcom. And once that runs out, they're like, all right, contract's up. We don't have to do this.
In the article Dave Houghton wrote, he said that there was a quote in April from one of the producers of the game, April of this year, saying that it's not 10% done yet.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
and they put up polls on their website like, hey, we're starting to get the roster together. Who do you think should be in it?
Yeah, if it's not a TGS this year, then it is just
it's a Ponzi scheme.
It is a scheme. Well,
it is a Ponzi scheme.
Namco was...
It's not a Ponzi scheme. I don't want to
Namco
get
Namco was barely at E3. Their big game was the game based on the Pac-Man cartoon.
Pac-Man
no
and the Ghostly Adventures or whatever?
Well, no, Dark Souls.
So what was this game supposed to be?
How
was
the hell are they still publishing Dark Souls? How is somebody else
they
not?
They snatched it up.
They're Dark good Souls buddies with From Software.
Yeah, but
they
like
publish
Atlas,
all of From stuff.
Well, Atlas did Demon Souls.
Yeah.
They got lucky. Well, I read an interview with... an interview, let's call it that, with the Atlas people.
Doesn't matter what it is, Henry.
Where they, it was in Kotaku, and they asked, so why didn't you guys get Dark Souls? And they're like, yeah, I know there wouldn't be a Dark Souls if we didn't put out Demon Souls here.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they're like, so what happened? And then the guy just, like, rubs his fingers together, and then, like, the money sign. It just, Namco offered more money. The end.
Yep.
And so... They probably just sewed up a deal. Like, Namco, I think, got lucky with Dark Souls, but I also wonder what's going to happen with Dark Souls. Is, you know, those games that were like sleeper, like, say, Darksiders, where it did better than it did, but it wasn't a blockbuster, but then people see blockbuster potential in it, and then they, like, overspend for the sequel, and when that sells basically the same, it, like, kills the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I hope that does not happen.
I agree. Yes.
Another franchise we don't want to see dead is the number 5 on the list, Doom 4, which, mm-hmm. for as much as people can say, why were we expecting to see it at all, this game has been in active development. They've said time and time again, and it's always been a franchise that puts these, or not always, since Doom 3, since the last Doom. It was a franchise that was like, holy fuck, look at these visuals.
Yeah.
And what better time to reintroduce it than the start of a new generation.
I wish I could remember, but I read something about Doom 4 development not too long ago, and basically the gist of the piece was the development of this game is in complete chaos. Like, nobody can figure out what the fuck
they did a full reboot in 2011.
Yeah, nobody knows the direction to take with it. It's just a mess. And
I could see Bethesda, their sale to Bethesda kind of fucking with that, like, because Bethesda, like, id was when it was just id, they worked on Doom 3 for forever.
Yeah.
And they could just go like, meh, do it over, relaunch that. That looks good enough.
And I feel like one of the problems...
Bethesda can go, like, start over.
Yeah, and they've been known to do that. I feel like the other problem is, not that Doom 3 was the perfect game by any means, but when I think Doom, I think Space Station on Mars and mutants and zombies and aliens. And that's exact... And, like, demons and shit. That's exactly what Doom 3 was. And Doom 3 still looks okay. So it almost feels like, well, what do you... You have, like... The rumors were it was, like, alien or demon invasion of Earth was the story, because you kind of have to... You can't do Doom 3 story again.
Yeah.
Even though Doom, for most people, is that story.
Uh-huh.
So...
Especially when they've re-released it as BFG edition, like, last year.
Honestly, I fully expect this to be a game we probably don't see, and if we do, it's years away.
Well, there will be another Doom game. Like, the name is too big to not do another one. I don't know why, though. People are afraid of the number 4. I'd say they're more afraid of the number 5. Anything over 5, if it's that number sequel, unless you're Mario Kart, who just proudly is like, yeah, this is Mario Kart 8.
Well, I think they skipped over it. Like, once you get to, like, the Final Fantasy 7 era, you're good. Like, 5 and 6 scares the shit out of people. Mm. That's why Nintendo just skipped them. They're like, Mario Kart 7! Woo! We did it! We made it there! We didn't have any of the other numbers. Number 4 on the list, Beyond Good and Evil 2. And there's several reasons we expected to see it here. The most basic reason was, like, 3 years ago, Ubisoft was being one of the first developers or publishers openly to acknowledge the next generation, said that the game got too big and we're pushing it back until next gen. Hmm. So we've known for a while this was a next gen game. Mm-hmm. The other reason is last week, or 2 weeks ago, on the Ubisoft blog, they posted a picture of Paige and said, getting some help preparing for our stuff next week. With just a picture of Paige. My guess... X Games Radar EIC Gary Steinman, who I think helps that run that page,
just
trolling
with us.
Just fucking straight up trolling.
Well, I do know that Eves or somebody else did reply to that, saying like we were just putting things of all our characters up that week to say get ready for E3. Like, people wanted it to mean there it was going to be there, which was not what they intended.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was. I know every time Michel Ancel is open for interview, someone will ask him about BG&E, and he'll just say like, yeah, we want to work on it, but it's like he already has a small the understanding I had back when they were working on Rayman Legends was
Origins.
That they had a small team on Origins, that was his team working on it, and then within that team, he set aside a few people to work on BG&E.
So I've been in his studio in Annecy. No, his is in Montpellier.
Yeah, I heard that was quite a trip.
But it is literally in a house with an upstairs and a downstairs and a bunch of tables set up. Like, it's not a big team at all. It's very, very small. And for that to be a fraction of that team working on this game, it's
not a game.
You're talking like 10 people or less.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But it wasn't there. Number three, a new Wii U exclusive Zelda. So they showed off that demo last year.
Yep.
Or 2 years?
The tech demo.
No, that was 2011.
2011, they showed off a tech demo, which was... It wasn't like a tech demo like they've usually shown off. It was, like, mildly interactive. Like, no, for real. This is
really
what a Zelda
system. Here's the camera moving
will look like. And it looked amazing. You can still find like a few high-res screens from there. You can move the camera around. You can change the lighting. You can interact just enough to prove this is rendering. This is what the game could absolutely look like, and not even in theory.
Yeah.
If we wanted to, we could give you control of him right now. Nowhere to be found. And I think the reason is obvious. It's because they already had two Zeldas at E3.
Yeah. They have too many fucking Zeldas. Like,
they have the new Link to the Past.
Too many Marios, too many Zeldas.
3DS.
Well, I'm glad they
Metroids.
I'm glad they took time off from Zelda last year. Like, it used to be you could go 3 years without a Zelda game. Now Nintendo really is just like every 2 years at best.
Yeah, they're just packing them in now.
You're counting like the handheld ones.
That's true, but I mean, even then it was like you used to be you'd get one Zelda handheld game a system, not four.
Yeah, I mean, N64 generation, you got two Zeldas. GameCube, you got two Zeldas.
Yes.
Or one and a half Zeldas. Wii, you got one and a half Zeldas.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I didn't expect, personally, I did not expect to, they'd maybe show concept art of the game, but
that's what they did for Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
They showed a single screen which showed Link and Fi.
Well,
maybe
wasn't
we'll
even
get that single screen next
art.
Year.
Yeah.
But this year, they just wanted to focus on Wind Waker.
And they talked a little about the new Zelda. They're like, listen, it's probably going to be kind of open world. Like, Miyamoto was like, it's not like it essentially alluded to the fact that it's going to be Skyrim-ish a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't. Who knows how far they'll go with that?
I expect them to go kind of far with it. I mean, Nintendo has made the same Zelda enough times, and I feel like they could still provide a very typical Zelda experience that would feel so fresh if it was not as linear. Still linear.
But if their if their current team is being so... They're being a lot more safe than they used to be. Like, based on this year's slate of stuff, like... Everything was a pretty direct sequel, you know? So that's why.
I was agreeing, and you're like, yes.
Number two on the list, and probably the thing that Henry and I are going to argue about, a new Core Series 3D Mario for the Wii U.
I forgot this. Yeah, our argument is built into this one here.
Yes, so it's the top 7 E3 2013 no-shows. Nintendo outright said we're going to show off a new 3D Mario game. I think that a majority of people assumed that was not a new Mario Galaxy, but a new game in that vein, like a new behind-the-back camera.
Called it a spiritual... ahead of time, in previews, I called it a spiritual successor to Galaxy.
Either like, Galaxy or even, Mario 64 or Mario Sunshine, which even though it wasn't the greatest game, it was still, like, here's Mario in a new way in a big 3D world. Instead, it is a four-player co-op sequel to a 3DS game.
Yeah...
That is both true and not true, I say, because so we.
I kind of put it like right in the middle. It feels like it really does feel like it's just kind of like an upgrade from the
3D world land.
When they first started showing footage before I realized it was HD. I'm like, oh, cool, and like they're making a new one for the 3DS. That's keen.
It looks better up close. I will also say you saw the camera for single player, like. The camera can get more like Galaxy. Like, it's not the fixed camera in single player.
See, but I don't know.
You're supposed to be at my side here.
They showed how the camera moves around, but we didn't actually get to do it.
Well, some other guy. You can't do it in multiplayer. Yeah. Only at time for multiplayer.
Some other games journalist guy was handling the controls for that. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to see if it could go in a full 360 around the character, I didn't see that. So it kind of felt more like a bumped out 3D or 2D Mario, like, because it still feels like you're side scrolling the entire time.
I am so disappointed in this game.
I'm disappointed though, but because it feels like a really good Mario game, and I think that's probably the only way you could do multiplayer.
See, I don't think Mario
3D Mario
64
never needed multiplayer.
Yeah, no, Mario 64, totally. Sunshine. Galaxy, they were all good. They were all amazing, or at least very good Mario games, and they were great examples of the system's power. So you were able to see this is what the system can do. Mario Galaxy looks fucking fantastic,
right?
Especially if you throw that thing on like a Wii U and you get some upscaling going, it looks really, really good. Or the Dolphin emulated screenshots, it looks so good without any actual software changes.
Yeah.
So the fact that this one does not in the slightest exemplify what the Wii U is capable of, and Nintendo needs that game so badly, and it so should have been this game.
it makes me sad that the art style that looked really good on a 3DS, like, it just... It looks exceedingly average by comparison.
Yeah.
Like, I agree.
Yeah, they and the worlds that they're showing are just really the safe Mario. This is Mario World. It's just, you know, green and, you know, the yellow blocks and the brown blocks and stuff. And it's just like, this is what Mario is supposed to look like. And then Galaxy is like, oh, there's space.
This
and
is
here's
the reason
a cool
people
planet.
Fucking hate. Like, people who hate Mario games, this is the reason people... It's like, oh, they made a new one. What is it? Oh, you're walking around on giant green platforms hitting question mark blocks and then occasionally jumping on yellow blocks.
I bet there's
Wonderful. An
ice world and then a desert world and then a lava world.
There's pipes. What?
No, like, this time they're clear, though.
Yeah. It's such a... I honestly would have been much happier if they were like, listen, we got to take a little more time on the 3D Mario. Here's New Super Mario Land... You too, like here's just more of that one. Instead, and before E3, you kept saying that whenever they and it's true when you add co-op to any game, you compromise the single player experience, which is fine.
You can't not do it.
Yeah, you can't not do it. If you add co-op, you need to accommodate two people doing something instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
So this game is accommodating four people, which automatically not that it makes it easy or anything like that. It just makes it different and feel. Worse alone.
I think I like the multiplayer a lot more than like the Wii U,
the new Mario,
yeah, new
games.
Mario U. Because like in the 2D world, you just collide so much, and in this way,
you've
like with the 3D
space,
world,
yeah,
you don't really have to run into everybody all the fucking time.
The best thing you can say about this game is it's not as shitty with four players as other multiplayer Marios.
No, a very like.
The cats are kind of cool when they you climb up the wall and then like you get too far and they just claw their ways down.
Oh, but
it's cute.
It is. I agree. You can look at it as New Super Mario Brothers is now poisoning the 3D series, which I never want. I liked having the 3D Marios were good and the new Mario ones.
Yeah, 3D Marios were core Marios, not core as in like super like Dark Souls. Just core as in like. Just pull up your fucking pants and play this game. Like you just play it. You just play it.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Still challenge you.
It's still somewhat challenging.
And after seeing this, I'm still waiting to see the next Galaxy. Who's basically
and not
it,
it doesn't even have to be Galaxy. If they were like it's new, whatever it was, but it has to take place in an actual 3D world.
Like, yeah, like
not a bunch of floating platforms
at a Galaxy level. You know, like
yeah, Galaxy it, or
something cool that's different. That's you know, it's still Mario.
But does it have to be single player only?
Yes.
Yeah, it can have multiplayer modes or whatever.
I'm okay with, like, a co-op star like they did in Galaxy 2. Like, that wasn't bad.
I say they go back to player 1 plays and then dies, and then player 2 plays.
That's right. Luigi. The good old
multiplayer.
Days.
That's real multiplayer.
Yeah, but I mean, this game looks fine, but it's just a disappointment. And number one on the list is a game that is, we all expected it to be there and expected it to be canceled, and the answer is somewhere in between. The Last Guardian.
I mean, we said in an article right before E3, if this does not show up, we're just going to assume it's dead. And then shortly after E3, there was the news story that it is now in hiatus. So it's kind of just floating in purgatory.
And the fact that the guy who's in charge, like Team Ico's lead, left like 3 years ago.
Who he says he's been working on it from a contract position for 3 years, but...
Yeah, that's not looking good.
I not say... You know, as much as I would love to stop holding out hope for this game, I say you still got to wait for TGS. If there's no sign of it at TGS in September,
then we have to wait until E3.
Holding out.
Just hold out until E3 2014. And if not then absolutely TGS 2016. I mean, we have some benchmarks we have to still leave.
It seemed like Versus 13 would never, ever see the light
of day.
That's
true.
Well, that's been in development about as long as The Last Guardian.
Yeah. It got announced 3 years before The Last Guardian. Though.
Damn.
Whatever.
Oh, well. So that's the top seven E3. I just realized how depressing of a start that is. Like, last week, we're just like, whoa, look at all this stuff we saw at E3. It was awesome. And this week, it's like, here's the stuff that wasn't there. Let's all frown. Are we all frowning? Good. Aww. We can move on.
Wish E3 would have been better.
Yeah. And so we're going to jump to segment two. When we get back, if you have not been paying attention to gaming news, holy shit, did you miss some stuff this week. So stay tuned. Do. Welcome back to segment two. Like I said, we really don't have any previews, but let's jump into the big news. Microsoft has pulled a full-on 180 on all of its DRM with the Xbox One, removing the every 24-hour functionality or mandatory check-ins.
Yep.
Removing all the restrictions that prevented used games and game sharing, but also removing all of the built-in game sharing tools and the digital library.
Yes.
Ryan, are you happy? Are you disappointed?
Oh, boy. So my stance on used games, I've always felt it's a double-edged sword. I mean, we recognize and know that it is unhealthy for the industry in that when you buy a used game, that money does not go to the developers and publishers. It goes to the retailer you bought it from, and thus they are not making any money on these games that are cycling around.
But, and the counterpoint to that is, of course, when you buy
a used
game.
You know what?
It's your
right. You bought the thing. It's yours. You do with it whatever you please.
And
you
there
can
are,
burn it in a wheelbarrow like I burned my World of Warcraft this one time because I was super addicted.
And there are people that say, like, if I sell my used games, I may buy new games. But
yeah.
But end of the day, used it at their core, used game sales hurt at the time, at least, hurt the developer and new game sales.
Well, and because video games, unlike many other entertainment mediums. There's really only one source of revenue, and that's the first sale of that. I mean, there's DLC, and
well,
no
that's
longer
why DLC keeps getting.
There's
bigger.
DLC and multiplayer, aka the thing people hate the most in the world.
There's just all this backlash that happens against any other stream of revenue that opens up. So, I mean, really, that first sale is what matters, and that drops off so quickly after the third week that game's out and the prices start dropping, and it's a mess. But I have to say, I am bummed to see. A lot of these potentially really cool features nixed. I would have loved to have seen a digital library, although I understand that would be difficult to probably implement without the 24-hour check-in.
I feel like there's ways they could have done. I feel like the biggest problem with everything that happened this week with Microsoft isn't that they removed all of these features, because a lot of them did just suck.
Yeah.
It's that they removed all of them without trying to meet a middle ground.
Yeah.
So 24-hour check-ins probably doesn't work. 7-day check-ins? I think people would have been more okay with once every 7 days. Or fucking, hey, guys, it's an expensive console. We threw a 3G modem in there. Every Kindle, a $99 Kindle comes with a 3G modem that only exists to check in with their thing and download books. If they would have tossed one of those in there, it wouldn't have added a ton of money to them. And then, hey, it checks in every week. But guess what? You don't have to do anything about that.
Yeah, they seem to definitely be taking radical approaches to what they want to do. It's either all in on one side or all in on the other side. That's not to say we won't see some of these things creep back in over the next couple of years. But it's a bummer that they're not going to be there at the launch. Although, my stance is I am happy that the DRM stuff has been dropped.
Yeah, I'm happy that on the one hand, I'm happy that I can come to work and say, hey, Ryan, can I borrow your copy of Halo 5? And you'd say,
sure,
and you'd hand it to me. On the other hand, I have relatives in Pennsylvania that play video games that I'd love to be able to just share my games library with them digitally. So, like, hey, I'm not playing.
Assassin's Creed 4 here.
Yeah, go ahead and play. I'm not going to mail them my game. I'm not a fucking caveman. That's ridiculous.
Although,
but if I could say, here's like, we're linked. Our accounts are linked. We're buddies now. You can play my games.
So I did find an article today that I sent out to Microsoft for comment, and they just completely shut me down with a.
Is that one that's paste bin?
Yeah, I mean, basically the gist of it was the way that the family sharing stuff would have worked is it was more of a demo thing. Like, you could play a game for up to an hour, and then you would be presented the option to buy it. It wasn't so
that
much.
That would have been pretty bullshit.
But originally they said you had to check in every hour, but they said check in, not.
Yeah, so I don't know for sure that this was actually how that would have played out, but this supposedly was from a Microsoft employee who was really bummed out that there was such. And also frustrated. Like, if this was a real post, there was a lot of frustration in the way that these things were communicated, and the whoever posted it was saying, fuck, I could have fucking told you guys how this would work.
Well, Microsoft did this thing where they unveiled the bad news before giving the good news, and then they hid the good news.
I think they were just, I think a better way of putting that is that they tried to pretend there was no news and just go like, we're not talking about
but
it.
But they didn't want to openly lie, so when it was asked, like, do you have to be online? And they're like, well, yeah.
Yeah, and they were just so vague about everything. Maybe. It kind of just scared everybody off about their. Well, all these things could have been really, revolutionary for the industry, but they just kind of they're just like, oh, I'm going to be really vague about this major concern that everybody's
they let the rumors fester, and it came back to bite them in the ass.
And it was stupid that they thought they didn't need to address it. Like, they really should have known.
Yeah.
People will ask.
Right.
We have to tell them.
And I don't they should have had, you know, a big conference where, you know, they'd really go in and answer people's questions.
Or honestly, they should have had an actual their FAQ would be like, there's a question on their FAQ, and this isn't verbatim, but it's pretty close, where it says, do I need to be connected to the internet all the time to play on the Xbox One? And they said, you don't need a constant internet connection, but you do need an internet connection. More on that coming shortly. It's like, that's not a... I know some people in the comment are like, you guys were hating on the Xbox One last week, and now you're saying you miss these features. I personally didn't think that any of these... I thought the DRM was taken too far, but I didn't think the DRM was the problem as much as it was that Microsoft was lying to people and just being shitty about unveiling it. The market, it was a huge, it was like a minor loss for the hardware, but a huge loss for their marketing. Their marketing shit the bed in the U.S. we found out last week that shit the bed in the U.K. means like, oh no, a bad thing happened. Shit the bed. But we're talking to the, if you're listening in the UK and you don't know, shit the bed means like, shit the bed is just a bad thing to have. You fucked up.
Yeah,
so
you fucked up.
In the future, when we say shit the bed, unless we yell it like, shit the bed, that's what we mean.
And as we said on the Radar Reacts, like, I think most of us agree in that it's somewhat comforting to know that when people speak out, they're being heard. And that's maybe what caused these changes.
I don't know if you guys saw the... Cliff Bleszinski, like, he had a ton of tweets broke, which he wished Microsoft had kept those rules because he is very against used games for the reasons we talked about earlier.
And he has said, he's like, I've looked at the numbers, I can't say what they are, but if you saw the numbers of people who bought the game versus people that, like, people who gave us money for the game versus people that played the game, you'd be where I was too.
Mm-hmm. I can totally see, like, a game... When you see even like 4 million sales like a Gears game probably sees, and then you see 8 million players online, you're like, fuck, man. Like that.
And the counter argument is always like, well, not all those people would have bought it if they couldn't buy it used. It's like, yeah, but 2 million would have.
Yeah.
And that's
at least some of them would have.
And that's $120 million they could have made.
Oh, yeah, and man. I also see this other argument that just baffles me, which is, well, 2 million people did buy it. You guys made all this money. That's not enough. I'm like, motherfuckers, that's not how this shit works.
Yeah. And we're not, and people in the comments, I'm going to go ahead and try to head this off, but we're not anti-consumer. But we also, like, there are a lot of people that have said, like, well, I don't have enough money to buy all the games I want, so I have to buy them used. And it's like, we often don't have the money to buy all the things we want. And
that's
should
what
the game
pick
the, and then the game sales come up so quick now, if you just wait a little bit, like, it's not there,
like,
it's not like the movie
bucks.
Speed or Saw. There's not a fucking bomb that's going to go off in your home if you don't play every Assassin's Creed the week it comes out.
Right.
I mean, there's one in mine, but I installed that shit myself.
And you know, of course we totally know what it's like to be really excited about. Like, I pre-ordered both the consoles. I could probably have waited a little bit and saved up some more money to be able to afford it.
Well, but we're all rich.
I mean, there was a time where I only bought used games.
Yeah.
There was also a time when I pirated the fuck out of games. I used to just be like, oh, yeah, this game. Oh,
back
yeah,
in college when you're poor? Back in
oh,
college.
Yeah, that absolutely. But you know what? You know what the difference is between now and then? There are so many fucking free-to-play games right now.
That are also awesome.
You have much less of an excuse to be that.
But see, I was the opposite of that in school. I used games disgust me, and they still disgust me as, like, not... Not the existence of them, but like,
and not you buying them either.
The germs
purchasing a used game, not just one that somebody else opened and I didn't get the right to open and smell the factory air, but then all the fucking stickers they put on at GameStop, like, that looks like garbage on my shelf.
Yeah. You're also admittedly a psychopath.
I'm a collector, if that's what you mean.
I mean, it's what it is. I think those are one and the same.
And
Henry.
It is a double-edged sword. And John and I posted an article, too, about, you know, here are some things you're losing because of this. And it is the stuff we just talked about.
I mean, we talked about it with Microsoft when they flew us in their private jet full of money.
here, you guys.
Take whatever
you
can hold.
You guys want a burrito? I hope you don't mind a $100 bill tortilla shell.
Yeah. and then they're like, say kind of okay things about our system. And we're like, money!
No, it was weird. It was kind of weird to me, honestly, just because... I don't think the stance we took when we wrote that was you guys are idiots for whining so much, and now look
at what you don't have. I was writing that at first, but you asked me not to.
Yeah, I was like, that seems like a silly way to take that thing.
I was just doing it to be silly, though. But,
you know, we were just kind of trying to point out, like, these. There are some downsides to what's happening. Again, not to say that we won't ever see those things. And it was just crazy to me, like, some of the outcry against, like, the fact that you would even mention these things, you guys just lost a reader.
Yeah,
like,
and wow. I honestly think in a way I am happier with the way the Xbox One is now than it was a week ago.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I do miss those features, but I think that 3 years from now people are going to look back at the state of the industry and be like, I think it may have been stronger in certain ways. One of the things that Cliff Bleszinski mentioned that I think we talked about before is that the way developers are going to combat this, without making it obvious they're combating it, is going to be like, hey, you're like, right now it's like, if you go to the store and buy fucking Gears of War 4, there's gonna be some shit where it's like, and if you buy a new copy, it comes with a code and you get a free gun or some bullshit. That's just a thing that game developers do now, mm-hmm. specifically to head off used game sales. That's gonna go away, and it's gonna be replaced by, hey, did you download Gears of War 4 from Xbox Live? Cool, you get this free map. Like, yeah. They're going to start bundling stuff with digital.
Digital achievement.
They're going to digital achievement the shit out of it. You bought 5 digital games, 5 million achievement points. They're going to find ways to give you incentive to buy digitally. But don't be fooled. That shit's going to be gutted from the game. Because it's much easier to do that than to do a Project $10 or an online pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to find ways to give you bonus features that are actually things that you should have gotten anyway, that otherwise you probably would have if the Xbox One. And you can flip out, you can boycott, you can say you don't want to buy those games. That's totally your right. But know that they're doing it because to make the game you want on a next-gen system, it costs them $500 million.
What about discounts on digital?
They might do that, but I'd be surprised if they didn't instead just say, like, the first DLC is free if you buy it digitally. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to track than typing a code in.
Yeah, that seems definitely like a better route to go.
I wonder, too, like, I think, you know, people, even I was, everybody was comparing.
Even old Hank!
Everybody was comparing Microsoft of this E3 to Sony of 2006 with their hubris of just going like, you gotta have this thing, guys. We're doing what we want. Like, but I think the big difference maker, maybe it's either a difference between companies or the difference that 7 years makes, but Microsoft, like, Sony, it took them till 2009 really to go like, oh, fuck, we were dicks. All right, this is $300, and here's a slimmer system, and we're sorry. Like, but meanwhile, Microsoft, like, the next weeks, were like, fuck, fine, you guys, fine. You get a shit all over it, then it's gone. Okay?
There was an article on Dorkly,
yeah,
which
funny.
I loved. It was just like the first draft of his of Don Matrick's letter, and the first line is, what was it? It was like,
all right, you fucking ingrates.
Yeah, all right, you fucking ingrates. We did it. And then it's like,
to be clear, this was a mock article.
But my favorite line, and it is a major point where it's just like, realistically, it was our fault. We didn't realize that you guys wanted the same fucking system you already have with slightly better graphics.
Yeah.
A lot of these features were going to be the things that differentiated last gen from current gen. And now the main differentiator on Xbox is a camera watching you poop.
Well, and I still think they will be long term. I think it's a difficult pill to swallow when somebody's trying to tell you have to do something some way versus giving you a slow transition into that.
And I do think, you know, it just from the outside, no matter what the policies were, it makes me sad to see, like, okay, are we going to move? What do you guys want on your thing? No changes? No, nothing? Everything the same? All right.
I mean, we'd still be using the PS1 controller if people...
Or
if
Xbox
the internet One. Existed back then, we'd still be like, analog sticks. I've never used those before.
See, I want four directions.
See, I don't entirely agree, because I feel like there are some changes. I mean, we're seeing integrated streaming and integrated all this other junk. And there are some cool things that both consoles are doing that we've not ever been able to do before. Granted, there would have been potentially other features that now we won't see, at least for a while.
So what do you think did do it? Was it like
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon certainly played a role in this.
Legitimate, and we're not, if you don't, we're not actually making a joke. Jimmy Fallon may have saved the Xbox One for you.
What's the story on Jimmy Fallon, just to clarify?
Well, I'll say it. So Jimmy Fallon, I feel like since he started his show, the week after E3 has been Games Week on his show.
And basically, he legitimately is a gamer. He likes video games.
I think it was, the first one was like 2010 when they showed Project Natal first.
Mm-hmm.
The next week on his show, he's like, I got Natal right here. And people showed up and did dumb shit with it. But
yeah.
So for this week,
John Krasinski from The Office.
That's right.
Was
in a
jumpsuit on Project Natal. I remember that.
So this year, he had on Mark Cerny for the PS4 day, and he says to him, like, and you know, one of the interesting things, this is my Jimmy Fallon voice.
It's a really bad Jimmy Fallon.
You know, one of the interesting things about your system is that, you know, the other guys don't let you play used games, and you guys do. And Mark Cerny replied, like, the PS4 works the same as the PS3. You can use use games. I'm paraphrasing here. These are not direct quotes. But so it's not Cerny's responsibility to defend the Xbox. It's to his advantage. It's to Sony's advantage entirely for people to think you can't play used games at all on the Xbox.
And when you think of Jimmy Fallon's reach, I mean, we're talking millions and millions.
Yeah, and so when Jimmy Fallon said that, the audience applauded, like, yeah, like, it wasn't. They
it's
applauded.
It's a win for customers' rights.
Yeah, and these were, you got to think, like, Jimmy Fallon's audience are more regular folks than the people who are at
Sony's
rubes. Press conference. Yeah. So all, and that, I think that Jimmy Fallon scene set up what will happen in what Microsoft realized will happen in all of American culture for a while, where they just go like, oh, so my Xbox One, I heard it can't play these games. Yeah, I heard that too. Well, all right, let's get PS4.
Yeah,
it's
and $100
bucks less.
And,
anyway.
And the funny thing is, one of the arguments, again, against the used game blocking and all that is it is an attack on your customer rights, mm-hmm. like your rights as a customer to resell things. I don't know the law that well, but I find it so strange that people are like, they're so against that, but like, you can't sell your copy of Undertow on Xbox Live, or if you bought a full version of Little Big Planet 2 on your PS3 digitally, you can't sell that. Like, you're still spending $60 on a game. You're just not getting, like, is it just our attachment?
Is it
just our attachment to a physical thing?
Yeah, I think
because we can't
it
do it on PC.
It's an attachment to an idea.
But
that
on PC,
when I
you get like a copy of Beyond
sure.
of whatever.
But people have built up this idea in their minds that PC gaming is a totally different thing because that thing is all digital mostly, and they haven't had used games for years. So, but it's like, but it is kind of the same.
But
it's
even
just,
not even digital,
it just hasn't transitioned here yet.
I bought a copy of Empire 2 Total War. And I think that's, I don't know, whatever the Empire Total War is. And I brought it home, and in the thing, it's just like, all right, put the disc in, and just type this CD key in. And you type the CD key in, and it adds it to Steam.
Yeah.
That disc is useless now.
No, of course.
So I still had a physical product.
Yeah.
Well, and you see all these arguments that that buying a used game is just like buying a used, I don't know, DVD
car.
Or buying a used whatever. And it's like, but none of those really stand up the same, because, well, I mean, first of all, a car is an entirely fucking different thing than a game. You're buying like a 15,000 piece of machinery that $15,000 whatever, and it's got, you're going into buying a used one knowing its wear and tear and blah blah blah.
Yeah, that car is built to slowly fall apart.
Yeah. But when you buy a used game and you put it in, assuming the scratches, there are no scratches, it plays exactly like when you buy a new one.
Yeah.
But when things like movies, I mean. But there are other revenue streams for movies where you're going to the theater to watch it, or you're
Netflix. You can watch it on
Netflix,
TV.
and there's all the royalties that come with that kind of stuff.
Same with
music.
Game market, yeah,
I mean,
the
you're
closest
paying.
Thing movies have to the used. I mean, there are used movies, but that's not as big of an industry. The closest thing they have is Netflix streaming and streaming stuff, but they're making royalties on that. They're striking deals.
I'd say the closest thing that there is probably books.
But even then, books are.
Who reads books?
Yeah, who reads books?
Who buys?
Well, they're having a digital revolution themselves. Like,
yeah.
People are reading way more on Kindle than in physical mm-hmm. books these days.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's, and I'm not even trying to, I know people are going to take this as me shitting on the consumer again, but I honestly feel like my connection to physical products has just been severed over the years. Mm. So that's probably the reason I'm okay with not reselling shit. I see, when they announced you could go to the store and buy Halo 5 and come back and install it on your Xbox, I just saw that as like, oh, cool, I don't need to let my Xbox install a game for 6 hours. It's just a faster way for me to get it, but it's still a digital product in the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder too, like, are people ever going to be willing to sacrifice the idea of owning something in exchange for potentially better products.
I think so.
I mean, I think it'll have to be a transitionary thing. I think
the smartest thing publishers and developers could do is next gen, everything's digital day of. They need to start adding incentives to buy digital because that will. I mean, you'll still have people that want to buy and sell used games, but people have already. Oh, I can't sell my iTunes. Like, everyone knows you can't sell an iTunes thing you buy. That's like when you buy a movie on iTunes, when you buy a song on iTunes, you can't resell that. No one's gonna. I can't resell my apps. I just got a new phone. I have $300 worth of apps on my iPhone. Dead now. Never going to be able to use those.
If I could buy all my Xbox One games digitally and not have to deal with a disc, putting it in a disc tray, and that's enough incentive for me to buy digital. If they give a little more,
I feel like everybody is on that border. If they give a little more, if they say first DLC is free, you get 5% off. You can preload it, and you can preload 98% of it like you can on Steam, and then you hit a button, and at 12:01, you're playing the game. Yeah. All those things they can do, or even like, hey, the game comes out of the East Coast at midnight, you can be playing at 9 p.m. if when the game comes out. Like, they could do all these things that will do the same thing, just, and then maybe in 5 years they can start adding this stuff.
In a less forceful way. And I think that is really the key here. I really feel like people don't want to be told what to do. No. They want to do it how they want to do it.
Microsoft's response.
And even if they would buy digitally anyways, for somebody to tell them you have to buy digitally, they're like, no, fuck you. I'll do what I want.
And the funny thing is, like, no, people don't like being told what to do, including Microsoft. That's why Microsoft's response to this was, fine, but I'm taking my ball and going home. Like, I'm not going to change. Yeah. I'm not going to. We could have probably done something where, like, you're still going to get most of these features, but instead, fine, fuck you guys. Enjoy your Xbox 362.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that they have to. It's a day one patch. Like, it's they've gone.
There's
too
a day
far.
One patch to remove the online reliance.
It's all in because the box
do,
still.
By the way, yes, you do. Your Xbox One does have to be online once to work. Like, you have to. To register it the first time, you've got to put it online.
And
so
this,
there is still an online requirement.
Yeah, and it's and it cracks me up that now all of these people who was like, I can't play an Xbox One because I don't have an internet connection. Well, it's like, you still need it to play the thing. I mean, as
well,
long
I think
as
people
you take
have,
it
I mean,
somewhere
you can,
once.
Yeah, you can like, it may be one of those. When I was a kid, I mean, it might be different now, but when I was a kid, I didn't have internet in my, when I was like 12 or 13, I didn't have internet in my room, but other rooms of the house did.
Sure.
But nowadays everything's fucking Wi-Fi, so I actually don't. I mean, there are parts of the country where it's like I don't have. People have said like I don't have a consistent internet connection. Yeah. I'll go 2 or 3 days where my internet doesn't really work.
And also
for those people, it's like you can activate it and you're good. Or maybe I wouldn't even be surprised if like they'll start like you can put it on a USB and update it through that.
Yeah.
Well, also if you're the type of person that needs cheaper, that is buying cheaper used games. You maybe don't have the money to pay for a monthly internet connection.
And right.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That really sucks. Like, so I can understand those are the same people who were hurt by the cutback
users. But, again, to just to reaffirm our position here, we are happy that the consumers have at least partially gained what
they wanted. Yeah, and I think that the best way for publishers to defeat used games is just to destroy them through digital.
Yeah.
Like, just beat them. Beat them off.
Kill them with
just
kindness.
Beat them off digitally.
Gamers will go where the deals are.
Yep.
Totally.
The day a game comes out and they're just like, by the way, Assassin's Creed 5 is $5 cheaper on digital, you're going to have like so many more people that were going to originally buy it on digital.
Yep.
And no one can resell it.
Totally wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
Yeah.
$60 discs. And
yeah. All right. We're going to actually... There's a few other small news stories, but we're gonna go ahead and end the news segment.
All right, yeah, there's nothing you can really match with
I mean, there's the PlayStation 3 might have a release date, but it probably doesn't. PlayStation 4, but
I
it probably doesn't. And what's the other thing?
Michelle Rodriguez endorsed the PlayStation 4.
All right, so we'll be right back with the third and final segment. And welcome back to the third segment. And guess what? We actually do have a review.
Ooh. Hooray!
We did it! Greg's joining us, though, for
Here
the community
I am.
Segment.
Yep.
Here you are again.
Rock me like a Gregory Kane.
I really want to. There's nothing I want to do more. But let's jump into a review real quick for Game and Wario.
Ooh.
I need to enunciate that perfectly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's Gay Man Wario.
Gay Man Wario.
Gay Man.
Which is not what I mean to talk about with him. Because, I mean, it's his choice if he wants to do that.
So, you know, the name of it is based on the classic Game and Watch.
Game and Watch?
game and
Swatch
handhelds that were the first games Nintendo put out.
And these games that come in Game and Wario are barely evolved from those Game and Watch games. So I'm a big fan of the WarioWare series since the beginning. Played all of them. Game Boy Advance, DS, the Wii one's great. The GameCube one was great at parties.
I love that one.
And I was sad to see the micro games go, but I was okay with it because I wanted to see what they would bring. Like, I wasn't upset because they got rid of them when I finally got the game. I was ready to see what the future would bring because they got rid of micro games in favor of regular mini games. Problem is, of the 20 mini games, like 15 of them kind of suck.
Oh no.
So there's like some of the, like there's one that's like there, most of them are single player, which I found kind of weird considering it's a
that's a little strange.
I mean, the series has always been single player, but if you're going to do mini games instead of micro games, it feels like it's a missed opportunity. But the mini games, like one of them is Gamer, which I really like. So you
that
play as 9-volt, I think.
Yeah.
And is it 8-volt, 9-volt?
9-volt.
9-volt. He has a gamepad, essentially, and you play, and on your gamepad, you play WarioWare, like the original WarioWare. You play it. But you're in bed, and you're supposed to be asleep, and every so often, your mom's going to peek in the room to see if you're sleeping or not, and you have to hide under the covers. It's a really good use of the screens. It's super fucking creepy. Like, they'll play this scary
like
sound effect.
Killer.
Like, they'll just be, you'll just be sitting there playing, like, dun 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 dun, and you hear, like, and she'll fucking, the TV will start fuzzing, and a silhouette of her will just pop out of the TV like the girl from the Ring. It's horrifying.
That's not how that happens.
So that's really, out of the TV.
Sometimes it's a cat that appears.
Yeah.
Are you for real, or is...
No, this is something that happens.
I couldn't play that game.
And or, like, you'll see a silhouette of her walking outside your window, and the window will fit thrown open, and she's looking inside, and it's just a silhouette of her with, like, red eyes.
Oh my God.
It's really frightening, but it's super cool.
I like the concept of that, too, that you have to... You have to beat your mom's high score.
Yeah,
as
she
well.
Took your DS. She took your Game Boy and beat your high score earlier in
That's
that day.
That's pretty good.
It's really charming. It's really funny. The problem is, for every game like that, there's three games that are Ski, which you tilt the gamepad left and right to ski, and that's all it is.
Gross.
And it's like you look at the gamepad; it gives you a top-down view, and you ski. The TV does nothing. It just shows another angle that you don't actually need. And there's a few games like that where it's like. The
Water
TVs,
ski, jet ski.
Well, no, there's ski, Wakeboard. And then there's like ninja, which is you jump forward, and that's it.
Exciting.
That's really boring.
Yeah, there's a taxi one that's kind of cool where you're shooting aliens while driving a taxi. It's sort of like an alien fighting version of Crazy Taxi on a farm.
That sounds fun.
It's pretty fun because on the gamepad you have a first person view, and you can't. And in the TV you have a top down view, and you can't see certain things. Top down that you can only see first person and vice versa. That works really well. And there are five multiplayer modes. One of them is just bowling, where you just pass the controller back and forth. But there are four that you play together.
We didn't play that one, right?
No, because it's not even listed as a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Because they realize how bullshit that is to call it multiplayer.
Ugh.
The multiplayer ones are WarioWare Pictionary.
Yeah.
WarioWare
Shuffleboard,
which actually plays a little bit more like Monkey Flight from Super Monkey Ball.
What were those little pieces called? Fronkers?
Fronks.
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 You had to launch your Fronks.
Yeah.
And those are both really cool.
Yeah.
I could see myself, like, once we finished playing them, I was like, I could totally just keep playing.
Oh, and that dance
playing.
One was pretty neat.
The dance one was kind of interesting. And what was the other one? There was another one. Oh, there was the fruit.
Find the spy.
Yeah, there was one where one person's walking around trying to steal fruit, and everyone else is trying to figure out who they are.
That one's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
No, it's impossible because you really didn't understand exactly what you were supposed to be doing. But if we played it again...
Maybe.
It's a cool game. It's a cool concept.
Yeah.
I'm also pro as fuck in that. So that's the main issue. But it's really cool, and those games are good. It's just that's it. That's all there is of quality on this thing. It's a discounted game. I think it's $30.
Yeah, it's launching at $30.
But it's still...
Nintendo knows.
It's still not worth that. Like, Thanksgiving time, when you guys come over for Thanksgiving, for our orphans' Thanksgiving, I'll probably bring it home and we'll launch some motherfucking Fronks all over the place.
I'm down from some wild Fronk and
Fronk.
But the rest of the games are so ridiculously bland.
Mm.
Like, even the ones that are like, the best ones are the ones that actually make use of the system's things. Like, there's one that's just like, it's like a pirate dancing game where it's like, the Wario will say, like, up, up, left, and you need to block attacks from different ships, like, up, left, and then shake them off the thing to rhythm. it's fun, but it's like, I'll play it twice.
Yeah.
It never felt all that accurate to me. It was hard to aim, though. I liked in that one you could, at the end, it's like, pose, dance pose. You just have to, like,
yeah, make the pose. Yeah, it says dance pose, and it doesn't actually do anything with that.
I know, but it's, yeah.
they just want you to do it.
It's not even like the Kinect is watching, and it'll say, like, this is the stupid shit you did. But yeah, so I ended up giving it a 2.5 out of 5, and super disappointed. Do not recommend getting it. Even if you have kids, like, there's better minigame compilations on the Wii U, and ones that actually make use of the system's functionality better. So, gonna have to recommend you don't WarioWare it.
Oh, wow.
Was that really bad, though? You'll get
was that
all
a really
the,
bad joke?
All the good stuff.
No, that was a good joke. I was pretty cool with that.
I don't think it was.
I mean, as we all know,
Gay
my standard
Man
for
Wario.
Jokes. My standard for jokes.
Now, there's a game.
Yes. So, yeah, that's that. And so I actually realized that we don't have a winner for the community segment from 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
But we will get in touch with you via email or via... We'll reply to your comment saying you won, and you should get an email notification.
Yes, that will be happening today.
Yes, and but we do have a question of the week for this week, tied to the top seven.
Perfect.
What were you looking forward to finding out more about or seeing at E3 that wasn't shown at all? So, like, was there anything you expected to be announced or expected to, like, a game that you just didn't hear anything from? For me, it's Brothers in Arms Furious 4. It was shown off a few years ago at the Ubisoft booth. It was playable.
That game's not even a Brothers in Arms game anymore.
They haven't even said what it is.
What it is, yeah.
They've just said, like, it's probably not aligned with that brand anymore, but then we haven't seen whatever it is. It was playable. Like, games being playable at E3 means they're pretty far along. And that was playable 2 years ago, a full level with four-player co-op.
So is Prey 2.
But it was really cool looking, and I really wanted to play more of it, even if it's not Brothers in Arms, even if it's just called The Furious 4 or something, and it's just nowhere. It just wasn't mentioned at all.
I feel like Gearbox is still in hiding from Alien. They don't want to. They know, like, the first time they give an interview somewhere, it's like, all right, here's every Aliens question.
But are they going to? Because when they were asked all those questions about Duke Nukem, they were just like, fuck you, buddy. Duke Nukem was awesome.
Hamburger versus steak, buddy. You just didn't like our hamburger. Like, no, that's not true.
Dick.
Yeah.
Penis. And then they made dick jokes for 45 minutes. That was an uncomfortable interview.
Oh, man.
Oh, that really happened.
No.
I have one as well, which is Dragon Quest VII. So there are two Dragon Quest games out in Japan right now that came out in the last year that that have not come to America yet. There's no word on them. And Nintendo published the last few Dragon Quest games, even though they're made by Square Enix. And the remake of 7 looks amazing, like great 3DS graphics. They fixed the camera, like Dragon Quest 7 had a terrible camera.
I'm excited for that because Dragon Quest 8 and 9 were both awesome.
Yeah, they were. And this has similar graphics to 8 and 9. And it's got a ton of extras in it. And it's also, like, it's a 100-hour game easy.
Right.
Like, it's the type of... But they said they fixed things, too, where, like, in the original game, in the original version, people who reviewed it were like, well, there's a really good job system in this game. At hour 35, they introduce it.
Right. They fixed that?
They introduced some stuff earlier, yes.
Awesome.
They fixed the pacing. But it's not been announced for the U.S., and I was sure Nintendo would announce it this year.
Don't you speak Japanese, though?
No, definitely not. Yeah, I can say pleasantries. I have, like, a three-year-old in Japanese. But
I mean, you're like a seven-year-old in English, so it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, burn.
Dragon Quest games are aimed at seven-year-olds, so maybe I should just...
keep going?
When I go to Tokyo, I'll be able to buy it and play it. But I did ask I saw the NOA Nintendo America staff member who had shown me the previous Dragon Quest games in preview appointments, and I asked her, like, come on, Dragon Quest 7, what's up? She's like, you know, I can't tell you if I knew. Like, sorry. And I was like, fine, but just know I really want it.
Did she respond to your crying at all?
And she just nodded and looked at me with pity and disgust.
I think that's what happens when a grown man cries at your feet about a localization of a video game.
They localize it so well, Nintendo. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. I guess I'm not surprised that I didn't see it there. Although I would have liked to have seen a new trailer for that Cyberpunk game by CD Projekt Red.
Cyberpunk 2077.
I was going to go with 88.
That's approximately the year it's going to come out.
They're saying 2015. I am not at all surprised it wasn't there, but it would have been really cool for them, like during the Witcher appointment, to be like, oh, and also here's a new trailer
that
for
was
our,
such a good trailer.
For our thing. Yeah, it was really
cool.
It
was really well paced.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they just screwed up. The CD Projekt Red is not a two game team. They're one
game now.
Team.
They're expanding.
Yeah,
they announced Cyberpunk way too early.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted
to be one of the first companies to announce a next-gen game.
Yeah.
Is all it was.
So
they wanted to be the dark sector.
Well, I'm just curious as to, like, what the hell it really even is, because all we saw was, like, that kind of
trailer that said nothing. Except for the fact that there's going to be sexy robots.
One of those artsy trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So
mine was going to be Prey 2, because... Yeah. But now... They're saying it's not even worth talking about.
Well,
it's not even in
a
place.
That's what Bethesda said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just came out yesterday.
And Bethesda released Rage, which was okay, but if that's, like, worth going apeshit about, how bad must Prey to not even be worth addressing?
Yeah.
Well, I hope the rumors that Arkane is now put in charge of relaunching that entire game is true.
Yeah. Also, my secondary one was I was hoping Visceral would come out and say they'd picked up 1313. Because that's a perfect...
They've already made a space-based, Uncharted-style third-person behind-the-shoulder shooter.
Absolutely, yes. And that's
rated
what
M. They've already made... Fucking, that armor already kind of looks like if Tony Stark had a wild night of unprotected sex with Boba Fett. Like, that's what their armor would have looked like.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Mandalorian armor. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, I was hoping Visceral will be like, hey, what up?
I meant Isaac's armor looked like
that.
So.
That's true.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
All right, so if you have an answer to what game were you hoping to find out more about or anything about at E3 that was a no-show, answer in the comments of this article or shoot us a tweet-zor on the Twitters.
Half-Life 3 Episode 3 is not going to win.
No,
so
it's
not.
They wouldn't show it at
that.
E3 anyway.
Yeah.
So shoot us a message on Twitter at GR Radio Radar. Follow us on Facebook at Games Radar. It feels so weird needing to fucking give an address. Just Games Radar.
Facebook.com/GamesRadar.
Shout Games Radar into a well, and odds are we'll throw a copy of PID at you.
You'll find me
in
there.
In return. Yeah.
In that well,
yeah.
Waiting for you.
With a list of codes for games.
also, iTunes.
iTunes. Be sure to review us on iTunes. Say nice things or mean things. I don't care what you say as long as you give us a high score, though I'd appreciate things that stroke my ego.
Because
it needs a good stroking. It has the
sorry, that was wildly inappropriate.
So that's pretty much it for this week. Be sure to check back on Games Radar for all of your video game needs, and we'll talk to you next week. Pass out cards. Lorenzo, Hanklery, Ricky, me. Question is, which is more like a movie?
Okay.
Oh.
All right, I'll go first. Boom. Jack Ryan Radio. Jack Ryan Radio is most like a movie because when compared to other video games. It has a good soundtrack.
Next. I'm going to go.
My other one was Worms and Metagame, by the way.
So
throwing it out there.
My answer, Prince of Persia, because it was a movie.
Fuck you. Movie. You cheating son bitch.
You could also say it was written by Jordan Mechner, who is a film writer.
That as well. Which I was
about
to say.
About you actually.
And then you rudely interrupted me again, Henry.
I'm sorry. Well, mine... is Epic Mickey. If I could turn it over, it's Epic Mickey. So that one, you know, Mickey doesn't talk during the whole game, but he was silent back in the old cartoons of the shorts as well. In the olden days. I mean, he would giggle and stuff, but anyway, yeah, and then it was like a big Disney film in action, except with Deus Ex style open choices, and it's the type of game you wanted to like more than you did.
And that is why it is like a movie.
Yeah.
I got
Half-Life, because there's characters in a story, and
it's the least like a movie. There's no cutscenes in it at all.
Things and, you know, people.
Uh-huh.
Go
That's
on.
Compelling.
There we go.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Disappointed.